The Bible Study Podcast, episode 715. Today's episode of the Bible Study Podcast is a sermon called Liar, Lord, or Lunatic. Welcome to the Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode is going to be a little different. This is a sermon I preached for my local church, Cupertino, California, for Bethel Lutheran Church. And it's also available in video form. If you go to the BibleStudyPodcast.com, you can watch it, although it's just my face, so you're not really missing anything at all. But here it is. I'm going to put the scriptures for this sermon in the lyrics of the episode, as I always do, but I'm not going to read them here on this recording. Take a listen.
Good morning. First, I'd like to apologize to those of you who are confused that we had two Old Testament lessons this morning. That was my fault. As I looked at the lectionary, which says what passages of scripture we should use on any given week, both the Old Testament lesson and the alternative Old Testament lesson stood out to me, because when you combine them with the Gospel of Mark, I think they tell an interesting story, unfortunately, a sad story about the people of God making some bad choices. I was reminded of C.S. Lewis in his book, The Mere Christianity. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says that when we're presented with who Jesus says he is and what he did, that we end up with only three choices. Is he liar, Lord, or lunatic? In these three lessons that we have this morning, the people of God managed to choose wrong all three times. And so let's look at those lessons. In the first of these, chronologically, we start in Genesis, and we see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they're about to get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They're still in paradise, but they're hiding in shame as they hear the Father Creator coming. And they're doing that because God has told them not to eat from the tree in the center of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, and they have. And they have because even though God said, if you eat that, you will die, a serpent, Satan, came along and said, no, you won't die. And so they believed the serpent, Satan, instead of God. And I'm going to say it's always a bad idea when we put our trust in the father of lies instead of the father creator. And so they chose poorly, and they chose to believe that God was lying to them. And so they're going to get kicked out. In the second of the lessons, we're in Samuel, and again, the people of God are making a choice, and they're making the wrong choice. Samuel is not only a prophet, but he is the last of the judges of Israel. And the judges are those people that God raised up at certain times when there was a need to govern the people of Israel in his place, or for him, rather, because they did not have a king like all of the other kingdoms around them, because God was their king. God was their Lord. But in this particular chapter, the people of Israel come to Samuel and they say, Samuel, you're old. You're going to die and your sons are worthless. So give us a king like everybody else has. We don't want to be the one kingdom, the one nation that is different with God as our king. We want a king like everyone else. And Samuel is displeased and God is displeased knowing they are rejecting him as Lord. And Samuel says, this won't go well for you. I don't think you understand that if you have a king, the king will care about his interests sometimes more than your interests. And Samuel doesn't know the half of it, because if we look at the 500-year period of the kings of Israel and later on of the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, I can count on one hand, maybe, the number of good kings. I think of King David, Hezekiah, Josiah the Reformer. Not perfect kings, but good kings, kings who were looking out for the people of God. There's a couple half-hearted kings, kings like Saul and Solomon, who start well and end poorly. Saul, who starts with a powerful king, but when God tells him that someone else will be king after him, not his son, he becomes a homicidal maniac because he doesn't want to lose that power. Solomon, who starts wise and ends foolish as he turns the hearts of the people of God away from God and to other gods, because he is lured there by the foreign women that he marries. So they chose poorly, choosing God not as their Lord, but someone else. But it's that third passage, that passage in Mark, that really surprises me every time I see it. I swear that we did not cover this when I was in Sunday school. This time when Mary and her boys, Mary and her four sons, we learn in the other Gospels, that her four sons are James and Joseph, Joe Jr., and Simeon and Judas. They come to take Jesus home because they think he is crazy. When I was in Sunday school, we used the felt board as our visual aids, and kids, you'll have to Google that to know what I'm talking about, but I am pretty sure we never had the felt board of this scene of Mary and the boys coming to take Jesus home because they think he's a nutter. But that is what Mark tells us happens, and it's confusing in Mark because Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and Mark focuses on what Jesus did and the power of Jesus. And he doesn't talk about things like Jesus' birth. And so in Mark, this is the first time we're meeting the mother of Jesus. This is the first time we're meeting Mary. He hasn't talked about angels and shepherds and wise men and a flight to Egypt. And he hasn't talked about the Jesus in the temple teaching when he is 12 years old, all those things that we're told Mary held in her heart that she pondered on. He doesn't talk about what John tells us, that the last time we saw Mary and the story of Jesus was at a wedding in Cana, where Mary tells Jesus, "Why don't you deal with this wine situation?" Apparently knowing that Jesus can turn water into wine. And so if you read the whole story, it's probably even more surprising that Mary and the boys are here to take Jesus home. And more confusing in Mark because Mark's focusing on what Jesus did, and I don't think that probably is what led to this story. I don't think it was the miracles and the healings that Jesus has been doing. I think of John the Baptist who sent word to Jesus, "Are you the one or should we look for another?" And Jesus sent back word that said, "Tell him what you see and hear, that the blind see, that the lame walk, and that the deaf hear." I don't think that was it. But the third chapter of Mark is about the 12th chapter of Matthew. Matthew has gone into a lot more detail, and he's covered things like the Sermon on the Mount. And we have to admit that in some of the things that Jesus has said, there's some crazy stuff. Jesus says things like, not just should you love your neighbor, but you should love your enemy. That if someone slaps you on the right cheek, you should turn the left cheek and let them hit that too. Jesus says things like, the meek will inherit the earth. Well, that sounds crazy. That doesn't jive with my experience. In my experience, you go out and you grab what you want. Doesn't the Bible say that God helps those who help themselves? Well, no, it doesn't. As Pastor Ben pointed out to us at a recent Bible study. So Jesus is saying some of these things that if we really listen to what he's saying, they're challenging not to the people at the time, but to us as well. Jesus is saying things like, "Forgive us, Father, as we forgive others." Jesus is saying things like that when you visit those people who are in prison or in the hospital, when you feed those who are hungry, you're doing it to him. And it seems to have been a little too much for Mary and the boys. And so they come to take him home, choosing poorly, choosing to believe that Jesus is crazy, at least for a time. The good news is that in all of these stories, there is redemption. In all of these stories, God has a plan to deal with the people of God and to bring them closer to him. Even in that story of Genesis, before they're kicked out of the garden, God turns to the serpent and it turns to Eve and says that your offspring will crush the head of the serpent. Your offspring, Eve, your offspring, Mary, will crush the head of Satan. Your offspring will be the way out, will be a salvation for the people of God. Even in that story of Samuel where they're rejecting God and wanting a king like everybody else, God has a plan to work through those kings. God will send an offspring, a descendant of King David, to be both priest and king, to be Messiah, to be the anointed one of God, to reconcile us to him. And even in this story of Mary and the boys coming to Jesus and thinking he is off his nut, God works and brings restoration. Three of the brothers we don't really hear about after the Gospels. And I can't tell you what happens to Joe Jr. and to Judas and Simeon. But I know what happens to Mary. We're told that Mary will stand at the cross as Jesus dies, and Jesus will turn to John, the beloved disciple, and say, "Here's your mother, and to Mary, this is your son." So even though she has four boys, she'll put him in the care of John, and she will remain, we are told by early church history, with John for the rest of her days, that she will be involved in the early church. She will go with John to Ephesus when John is ministering there, and you can still visit the house of Mary up on the hill above Ephesus. And James, the oldest brother, we believe, we know what happens to him, because that James is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible as well. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that after Jesus' ascension, he appears to Peter and the apostles, he appears to over 500 believers at one time, and then he mentions that he also appears to James. And that's this James. James the Elder is what he'll be known of as, James the Elder is what he'll be known as in the early church. And we don't know what Jesus said to James. And I can picture that it might be, "Hey, James, remember the time you thought I was crazy?" But I don't think that's what Jesus said. I think it was something more like, "Peace be with you." Whatever he said, James not only becomes a leader, a believer in the early church, he becomes the head of the church in Jerusalem. And he writes the book of James that we know well. In that story of the mother and the brothers and this coming to Jesus, and they say they're outside, he says, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" They're the ones who do the will of God. Not the ones who believe, but the ones who do. So is it any wonder when James writes that book to the early church, he talks about doing. He says, "You want to show me your faith, show me what you do." We are called to be people who do the will of God, who do the forgiving, who do the loving, who do the turning of the other cheek, who do the caring for those who are in the hospital, those who are sick, those who are hungry. Now, it's a little awkward this morning because as I'm recording this a week early. And on Tuesday, in my future and your past, there was a vote on calling a pastor to Bethel. And I have suspicions how that vote went, but I don't know because that's still in my future. But however that went, there's some words that should be said as we call a new pastor to Bethel, whether this one or someone else. That we're calling them to be a pastor or shepherd is what that word means. We're not calling them to be a minister. And I think that word, we misuse that a bit, because they're not called to do the work of Bethel. We are called to do the work of the church of God in Bethel. And they're called to shepherd us, to encourage us, to lead us along, to cajole us at times. They're called to help equip us for ministry, to do the work of the Father, to do the will of the Father, to do the forgiving and the loving, and the turning the other cheek, and the caring for those who are sick, for those who are in prison, and for those who are hungry. And so, brothers and sisters of Jesus, brothers and sisters of Bethel and elsewhere, let us do the work of God. Amen.
Looking for ways to stay positive? Brighten your day with the free Story Behind podcast. Hear weekly short stories that showcase true joy, love, and hope. Listen now at lifeaudio.com or by searching for Story Behind wherever you get your podcasts.